You're listening to the O&P Check-In, an SPS podcast.
This podcast brings you the latest happenings in the O&P industry. We're unpacking trends and news from this tight-knit orthotics and prosthetics community.
Thank you for joining us. My name is Jackie Green. I'm a marketing specialist at SPS.
And I'm Brendan Erickson, regional sales manager here at SPS.
Welcome back to our listeners. If you're new to the O&P Check-In, here is what you can expect. In each episode, we provide a quick SPS update and discuss hot topics in O&P with leading professionals in the industry. Before we get started, let's hear a word from our sponsor.
Powerful OA correction in a brace that's lightweight, flexible, and easy to wear. The UniRELIEVER from Tuan USA is the universal OA bracing solution that's offering targeted relief and personalized fit with trusted Tuan hinge technology. Featuring correction targets and individualized force offloading, the cross-strap system with BOA dial technology makes it easy for patients to control their correction for greater pain relief. Visit spsco.com or talk to your SPS sales account manager to learn more.
Brendan, what's going on over at SPS?
Well, from April 1st through June 30th, you can purchase any two Willowood liners and use the corresponding promo code to receive a discount off of some of their Meta series feet. It's $50 off the Meta Core, $100 off the Meta Arc, or $200 off the Meta Shock or Meta Shock X.
Wow, that's pretty exciting, Brendan.
It is. You got to save some money out there in today's inflationary market.
Yeah, you can learn more about this promotion by visiting our resource tab on the spsco.com webpage under promotion. You can find a flyer that has all of the information you need and all of the corresponding promo codes for you to put in.
Yeah, and it's a little bit different, right? It has to be done online and you actually have to add the code. And the codes are really easy. We'll even give them to you now. For the Meta Core, it's Core. For the Meta Arc, it's Arc. For the Shock, it's Shock. And for the Shock X, guess what? It's the Shock X.
Yep. Doesn't get any easier than that. This is an online-only promotion, though. Again, you can check out our promotions page under the resource tab or follow the link in our show notes.
Okay. We are so excited to talk with today's guest, Eastern Michigan graduate student and recipient of the 2021 SPS O&P Master's Scholarship. It's Sophia Mancini, and she's here to catch up with us and talk about her recent capstone project. Welcome, Sophia.
Yeah, thanks, Brendan. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here and talking with the SPS crew again. It's been a few years.
Well, congrats. It's a unique situation and pretty awesome. So fill us in on what's happening now in your life. And you got graduation coming around the corner, and I'm sure you and your family are really excited about that and proud of it. So what's up? What's going on with you?
Yeah. So I'm here at Eastern Michigan still, Ypsilanti, Michigan. We're just finishing up. And you know, it's funny because I was home this past weekend and everyone was like, oh, you're almost done. Are you so excited? You're like home stretch. And I'm like, yeah, it's great, but you don't understand everything that has to happen between like now and graduation to finish this. So we graduate at the end of the month, the last weekend of April. So we have, I guess, the rest of this week, next week of class left. Probably only a few days by the time this gets out. So say a prayer for me if you're listening. Because our last week we do comprehensive program exams. So we have three straight days of testing over everything that we've learned the last, you know, year and a half in school, 2 years. And so right now, yes, I'm excited for graduation, but we are all kind of just head in the books right now.
No senioritis, I take it.
Yeah. No time for that. We don't have time for that.
Well, thank you for taking time with us today. I mean, you should be studying, and I hope it's not a detriment to you.
I do like one study distraction a day. So like this is good for me. Definitely. But so following graduation, I have about a month off. So me time before residency starts. And then I start the beginning of June. I am going to Yankee Bionics in Akron, Ohio, which is near Youngstown, where I'm from. So that was really important to me. I wanted to be back in that area, and I'm going to start my prosthetics residency there. And I'm so looking forward to it. I shadowed with them in the during our clinical rotations in the summer, and I just had a really great experience, and I'm really excited to get back there. So
for everyone who hasn't had a chance to meet you yet, can you give us a little bit more of your background and like what attracted you to the O&P field?
So I went to undergrad at Youngstown State University, so our hometown school, and I went for exercise science, pre-physical therapy, which I think was inspired by the two knee surgeries that I had playing soccer in high school. So I think I went through PT. I wanted to get involved with that. I really like sports still. So I went into kinesiology there, and I was a sophomore, and we were in class, and I'll give a shout out to Dr. Basso because he was an amazing teacher. And he looked at all of us and he was like, okay, we're going to go around in a circle and say, you know, what your goal is with this degree. And everyone was like, PT, 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 PT. And like, you know, it was maybe everyone, but like three people were saying PT. And he looked at us and he said, I hate to be the first one to tell you this, but like none of you are going to end up doing PT. Or maybe he said like, you know, only like five of you, which I think is what it ended up being. And I was like, no, that's not going to be me. I'm doing PT. And then the more I went through with that, I was like, oh, I don't want to do PT. It's not for me. And so I always laugh about that because I remember it so well, like him saying, yep, you're not going to end up doing that. And then I just kind of, you know, floated through the rest of undergrad, not really too sure. And I knew at the end of it, I really was interested in movement science and biomechanics. So I decided to go straight into a master's degree. I went to Ball State University and went to their biomechanics program. They have a really great lab there. And I was working as a graduate assistant. So I did that for 2 years. And in the beginning, I kind of thought that I would maybe keep going and get a PhD because I really thought I wanted to teach. And in a way, I still am going to be doing that, which is important to me. But anyways, I went to Ball State and, you know, worked through my master's there, and very, you know, maybe about a few months in, I was like, okay, this is cool. The lab stuff's cool. I'm learning a lot, but I still like, I want to work with people, you know, and I want to be patient oriented. So I went on my computer and Googled, what can I do with a master's in biomechanics? And O&P came up, and I had never, you know, I had heard of, you know, wearing foot orthotics, or probably, you know, seen amputees or people wearing AFOs or whatnot. But I never thought about it as a career. I never wondered where those things came from. And I was like, oh, let me look into this. So I found some places nearby, and I went and I shadowed at Prevail Prosthetics and Orthotics in Muncie, Indiana, with Chris Kale, who was, you know, I walked into his office and he was like, okay, like, what's your goal here? You know, what do you want to learn? And I was like, Chris, everything. I don't know what's going on. I said, I'm just here to see if I like this. And I was maybe there like half hour or an hour before I was like, yeah, I need to look at schools. I need to figure out, you know, where I'm going to go. I was like, I want to do this. This is 100% what I want to do. And so I finished up my master's degree at Ball State, already applied and into Eastern Michigan. And then I came straight here.
You were recently at the Academy show out in Nashville, and you were able to share the results of your capstone project, which I'm going to read this just straight off. Tell me if I say it wrong. Perceived hazard exposure and accommodation while pregnant and not pregnant in O&P employees. All right. So what gravitated you toward this? Tell us a little bit about it.
So I had research experience from Ball State. And like I said, I was working in a lab that was much more, you know, let's see, biomechanically related, you know, and then I got to EMU, and we, our first year, started working on our capstone ideas. And I thought, you know, I should do something different. I don't want to do something that I, you know, similar to what I've already done, expand my horizons and my resume. So I was thinking about just, you know, O&P, something big that's happening in O&P is the shift from being a male-dominated field. So my cohort here is 17, and there's only three males in our cohort. So you see it even in the schools now. And I think being a female, that's something that I'm very excited about, you know, going into this field. So I got to thinking about, you know, the potential for more pregnancies in the workplace because we have more females entering the field. And I went to my advisor and our program coordinator, Rebecca Sprague, who's amazing. And she actually, when she came to Eastern, had that same idea, and it just wasn't research that she had gotten off the ground yet. And so we were both really, really excited. And I actually, one of my classmates, Emily Sampson, we kind of did a co-project where this was my part and her part was, I'll talk a little bit more about it later, but she did more of the research on the hazards that we're exposed to and what exactly those hazards are. And mine was more like relating it to the workplace and accommodations and things like that. So we had a really good group working on this project, and we were all very passionate and still are very passionate about it. I mean, we're hoping to take it further. We're hoping to go to AOPA this year in Indianapolis and talk about it more there. But that was kind of the birth of this, no pun intended, project. So we presented in Nashville, and then we got back here and we did our final capstone presentations for our program. And so that's kind of wrapped up for now, and then we'll get back into it pretty soon. But it was a fantastic project to work on. And, you know, I'm really grateful that, you know, because I did a survey and I got a lot of, responses. It was really well received by the female O&P community of clinicians and technicians. So it was just all around just a great experience.
So what did you actually end up discovering in your analysis? What did you kind of find?
So the things that we were testing, I sent out a survey, and the main things I was looking at were perceived hazard exposure to, it was 9 hazards, which were derived from Emily's research. Okay, what are our main hazards? And so perceived exposure while you were pregnant and while you were not pregnant, did your exposure change while you were working, pregnant and not pregnant? I asked about awareness of your legal rights, which is interesting because we're kind of in a shift right now. There's a new bill that was signed to law that's coming out in June that kind of shifts those rights, which I'll talk about. And pregnancy accommodations. Have you requested accommodations from your employer? Were those accommodations granted? Why did you maybe not request accommodations from your employer? So kind of a lot of different things that we talked about or we asked about, but some of the more interesting results. So the legal rights that I originally asked about was the Pregnancy Discrimination Act, which is paired with the Americans with Disabilities Act, and it is regulated by the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, and those were the laws. So the Pregnancy Discrimination Act prohibits sex discrimination on the basis of pregnancy. And the ADA, it talks about, it prohibits discrimination against an applicant or employee based on a disability. And that includes disabilities related to pregnancy. So what's changing is, you know, those laws are from 1978 and 1990. And the country is going to be operating under the Pregnant Workers Fairness Act. It was passed in December of 2022. It goes into effect June 27th, 2023. And what that says is that employers must accommodate pregnant workers on the basis of their pregnancy. So whereas previously it was a disability related to pregnancy, for example, if you got gestational diabetes, but now it's just, if you are pregnant, your employer has to work with you, and it's like no undue hardship to the employer, but they have to work with you on accommodations. So that was interesting, you know, for me to be doing this project in the middle of that shift. And, you know, it's still hasn't even happened yet because it goes into effect in June. But so at the time I asked about the Pregnancy Discrimination Act, and I said, are you aware of this? And do you actually know what it says? So I had 51% who had heard of it. And then from there, only 47% actually knew what their rights were in it. So there was 53% who they've heard of it, but they don't know what it says or they don't know what it guarantees them. And so that was interesting. And then moving into pregnancy accommodations, I asked if they had requested pregnancy-related accommodations from their employer. And 42 participants, 56% said yes. And then I asked if those accommodations were granted. And 81% of them were, 19% or 8 participants, they were not granted. Now, we don't know what they were asking, so there's that to consider. But still, you know, they could have been asking for reasonable accommodations and they weren't granted because they didn't have to be by law. So on the other side, for those who had not ever requested accommodations from their employer, this is kind of the big goal of the project. I then asked if there were like published guidelines of what to request for O&P specifically, would you be more likely to request accommodations? Because it, you know, it, at the end of all of this, I would love to have a document, a pamphlet, you know, a flyer, something that just says, are you pregnant and working in O&P? These are things you should consider. Here's reasonable things to ask for. You know, 80% of women all over the country are requesting these things or are receiving these things. So that's like, you know, proof, facts, things you can share with your employer. We have nothing right now to, you know, help us figure out this, you know, figure out work at this time for us. And from there, we had 64% say yes, 27% said maybe, and 3 people said no. But one of the interesting things from there about, I did ask a question of why if you didn't request accommodations, why not? And that was just kind of a little fill in. These results have not been qualitatively analyzed, but the top reasons were fear of retaliation or being perceived as weak in the workplace, a lack of staff, or just general unawareness of the laws and what they should be requesting. That shouldn't be a position that we are put in where, oh, I'm just not going to ask because I don't know what to ask, or I'm afraid that I'm going to be retaliated against. You know, that's the whole point of the protection of these laws for us during this time. So for the exposure, we did find a significant difference in resin and aerosol use between when pregnant and not pregnant. And the trend was that they were used significantly less frequently during pregnancy. So, you know, I thought that was really interesting because, you know, resins especially are very dangerous. I mean, even regardless of male, female, pregnant, not, you know, we have a lot of hazards in O&P. And, you know, I don't think we had to do a study for people to understand that. But I think that it is something that needs to be taken more seriously. And especially,
it's interesting that people do take that double check, though, when they are pregnant.
Yeah.
I mean, it just goes to show you that we are aware of it.
Right.
Right. And we actually make that definitive choice once we have something larger than ourselves going on.
Mm-hmm. And some of it's interesting. Like I think, Brendan, you said earlier, like, are you just asking, you know, not to laminate or not to grind or, you know, what? And like, obviously that's a tough ask in our field, you know, oh, I'm not going to grind anything for 9 months. You know, that's between you and your employer, but should you be wearing a mask? Absolutely. So these are just things that we should be doing regardless. And one of the interesting ones that we asked about was loud noises, which again is with, you know, a lot of our grinding machines. I've seen some that are much quieter than the ones we have at school, but you know, they're still loud. And we can wear ear protection all we want, but that's not protecting a child. You know what I mean? Like if you're pregnant, that's not protecting your child. So that's just like, how do you get around that? Do you just ask not to be in the machine room? Like it's tough because there's things that we have to do or we'd have to ask for help with. But I think that, you know, we need a norm. We need, you know, this is what women across the country are doing. Think about this, talk to your employer about it. Talk to your coworkers about it, ask them what they've done, because I think that, you know, these things are important and we need to be paying attention to them, especially while we're pregnant.
Are there any specific things, you know, from the employer or the clinic side that you think are low hanging fruit that they can do? You know, for maybe some of our listeners that are out here and they're like, yes, I want to make a positive difference. Mm-hmm.
As far as the hazards of what we're exposed to. And I think accommodations are going to look a little bit different for everyone depending on their pregnancy. For example, if you are pregnant with multiples and it's, you know, you're just struggling to even get around, or you are, you know, experiencing some other pregnancy related disability such as gestational diabetes. So I think there's things to consider based on, you know, how the pregnancy is going. But just in general, I think that eye protection, gloves, you know, hearing protection, that's just baseline in general. Everyone should be doing that, male, female, pregnant, not. But I think that taking the proper mask precaution, like I know that we've all been wearing masks the last few years anyways because of, you know, COVID and things, but the proper masking for some of those things like resins and whatever is actually like a gas mask. You know, you want to filter that out, and you know, no one wants to take the time and put that on, and you know, and maybe you're just walking through the lab real quick just to get across, you know, the office, you know, like just things like that. I don't know. It's tough. It's just tough in our field. Maybe, you know, that's something for employers to consider. Okay, we're doing all of this in one spot or all of this in a separate room, and we're going to make sure it's properly ventilated. And if you are pregnant at that time, you know, you're not doing any laminations, or, you know, if you are, that's your choice. And we're going to make sure that you have the proper mask protection, or breathing protection. So I think it, like I said, it's going to look a little bit different depending on pregnancy specific things.
I also think, you know, there's some materials that are coming out that are advancements that are giving off less toxicities. And I mean, we've seen it in from like Paceline and people that are making the resins, and then even some of the new sockets that are coming out, trying to get rid of the carbon fiber so it's not in the air, you know. That stuff is pretty cool. And I think the manufacturers are on the forefront because this is such a big issue.
Yeah, I think that this, in one way or another, it affects the whole field, the clinicians, the technicians, the manufacturers. I had a classmate here, Case Lackey. She did her capstone project on different environmentally friendly materials and laminations besides carbon fiber and things like that. Like the advancements all around. So it's great that, you know, manufacturers are looking at those things too. And maybe they're not, you know, thinking with specifically pregnant clinicians in mind, but at the end of the day, those are the kind of things that those are bettering for, you know, just everyone who's exposed to these.
So do you have any like additional steps maybe that you would recommend for a clinician or a technician and how they can better protect themselves in the workplace? I know you kind of had outlined some of them as you're walking through and answering Brendan's question.
So I don't right now. And part of that is because I've never been pregnant. And I've also I haven't been in the field yet. I'm just in school. But working with my capstone advisor, Becca, was really great. She had 3 kids while she was still working in the field. And I'm sure she would have a million things to say about, you know, that part specifically, but just, you know, getting to work on this project with someone who went through this 3 times, you know, her input was just so valuable, and her passion for the project because of what she went through, and just really pushed it. And, so I, not anything specific, but you know, like I said, I haven't, I'm talking the talk. I haven't walked the walk yet. So but that's part of the reason for this too. You know, I am hoping to be in that position one day. And I want to be ready for it. And I want to be able to, you know, make smart decisions for myself, my family, my body, my health.
I think you touched on it earlier too, people's mindsets, especially in this profession. We all want to provide something to somebody else, and maybe we're not looking at ourselves first. It's probably a trait among a lot of our practitioners in the field. and they may just be like, no, I got to get this done. You know, I'm not too worried about my own exposure to this, but maybe just the awareness that you're talking about of like, hey, all right, I got to, you know, be the carpenter that works on his own house too, you know, or the prosthetist that's missing a limb that needs to work on his own leg, you know, which we see that all the time. You know, it's like the carpenter has the house that gets finished last, or the prosthetist that is missing a limb, you know, they're still on an old prosthesis because they're working on everybody else's. And the last thing they want to do is work on their own. But, you know, just bringing to light that people need to be more conscious and educate themselves about their own well-being and safety is huge.
Mm-hmm. I think that, yeah, you hit the nail on the head, Brendan, but we talk about burnout in school, you know, and we're not even in the field yet. And they're already just addressing that because it's important. You know, we are in such a unique and important and like compassion filled field. And sometimes, you know, we can experience compassion fatigue or, you know, just burnout in general. And I think that taking care of ourselves in whatever way we can is going to ensure that we are able to take care of our patients as best as we can for as long as we can.
Yep. Shout out to our burnout survey podcast from a couple months ago. Go back and listen, everybody, if you haven't listened to that one. Do you have anything else that you'd like to add?
Not specifically. You know, it's a shout out to, again, I just want to thank Becca Sprague, my capstone advisor, Emily, who I worked on this project with, everyone at this program here that I've been, you know, laughing, crying, and going through whatever else with the last year and a half, you know, like all the practitioners who got me into this, because we talked about, you know, it's everyone gets into it in a different way. And I was exposed to some really great things early on that led me to where I am. And like, I'm just super excited and grateful and looking forward to getting out there and starting residency and helping patients. So.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Sophia. This was seriously a fantastic topic.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you guys for having me. It was great to be back. And I'm so grateful for SPS too. And just like I've made, you know, just connections and relationships and, you know, seeing Liz at the Academy and Ellen I met at the Academy meeting, and that's how I ended up here. So yeah, thank you all.
Wonderful. It's great to hear. Thank you so much.
All right. If you would like to connect with Sophia on LinkedIn or follow her on Instagram, see the links in our show notes.
Well, there you have it. Thank you for listening to the O&P Check-In, an SPS podcast.
If you like what you hear, hit the subscribe button on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Please rate and review the show to help fellow O&P professionals find us.
We'd also like to hear from you directly. What topics do you want us to cover? Do you have any burning questions? Email us with your thoughts and feedback at spspodcast@spsco.com. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.